It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
All right, welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name is Blue. Alongside me is the world famous Joe Grande, and missing in action today is the world famous Pot Brothers at Law.
It's good that Craig's missing because Craig's in Vegas getting his hair done, and he's having a good time. I mean, not only did he need a haircut, people don't know, he gets his hair dyed, his mustache dyed, his armpits dyed, his chest hairs, back hairs, and it's just so crazy he goes as far as getting his ass bleached and dyed.
And pubic hairs.
So people don't know that about Craig Wasserman, but he's that old that he gets it done. And for those who want to see, you can just ask him. He'll show you. Well, all of them.
So they're doing it live on the Pot Brothers at Law.
Page. On their IG Live Friday.
IG Live.
Bleach your ass page.
It's a fun day. So listen, Joe, you know, it's funny because there's so much going on right now, and I'm so excited to be sitting next to you. I feel like COVID's over, but it's really not.
It's really not, but you know what? Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast, and thank you for hanging out with us. We've been doing this for a while. I'm going to kiss Blue on the show today, open mouth, and we're going to prove to everybody that COVID's done.
Yes, and then we're going to show you exactly how to do it in slow motion so you can do it, too.
We're going to have our masks on at first, and then we're going to go for it. Just kidding, you guys. And then we're going to pass a joint. Actually, I was hanging out outside earlier, and I was like, are you going to share that joint? It was with Mark, actually. Mark was with Joel, and he's like, I'm not sharing that with nobody. I'm not sharing. I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. No one's sharing weeds.
Isn't he, like, asymptomatic, though? He's just one of the guys that carries it?
I mean, exactly. Guys like us, we've all had it, so.
No, one other thing before you jump into the show. You know, I do know that I heard Arizona is like a war zone over there right now. And so they're re-shutting it down. It's got the most, cases of coronavirus.
Well, the good thing is I got a buddy that's going to his lake house just on the border of Arizona.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's safe and sound. Yeah. Hey, and I'm going to Vegas, so it's like, you know.
Yeah, are you going to Vegas?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Are you going to meet up with Craig?
No. Oh, he is there. I didn't even think about it, actually.
Oh, he's been there for
a week? Absolutely not, I won't. Excellent. I'm going to be with my kids. He's with his wife and, you know.
You know, maybe a nice dinner.
No, because my kids will still be there, so a nice dinner means, and they're too old to, like, want to hang out with kids, and I don't want to do that to them.
Mm.
If they were, like, still young at heart with kids at home, they would understand. I hate doing that to people who don't have kids at home.
Yeah, don't ever
do that
to me.
Yeah! I would actually do it to you because Chelsea wants kids, so therefore she'd want to hang out. You know what I mean? You got to look at the dynamic.
Yeah, she actually enjoys them. She'll have fun with them all weekend.
Yeah, where, I mean, they would enjoy it, but I know they wouldn't enjoy it. You're not going to Vegas to hang out with your buddy and their kids.
Right.
I'm not going to do that to
them.
So I would not even hit him up about it.
Tell us what's going down on the joke.
So you guys, first off, if you want to be a part of the show and hear your voice on the podcast, feel free to leave a comment, ask a question. Call 800-420-1980. That number, once again, is 800-420-1980. We're getting a lot of voicemails, a lot of fun questions. We're going to play a bunch of them later on in the podcast that are coming up. So make sure you check out our IG pages as well. Learn the script, the slam poem, and so much more. Plus, you can learn a lot about our personal lives. It's at Cannabis Talk 101. And right here, Blue is at 1 Christopher Wright.
Yes.
I am at Joe Grande 52. The Pot Brothers are at Pot_Brothers_@_Law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. And Craig usually does your cannabis news. Mark usually has your stories from when cannabis goes bad. Blue has Making Waves. I usually do the Go Green segment. But right now, Blue, I want to get to some Facebook questions. People have been hitting us up on all kind of different angles. You could also feel free to email the show or email me directly, Joe Grande@CannabisTalk101, and we'll get your questions.
That was big, man. That's a big one right there.
Right. So here's your question for Blue. Actually, this is for you. And when I was going through all the questions, I mean, we could do a whole show on just questions alone, but I was like, this is perfect for Blue because he could elaborate on them because his expertise plays a part in this. It says, Blue, do I need to hire someone to help me with my own personal grow, or can I really just do it on my own? What does it take? Speak on it, Blue.
It depends how big you're going to go. On a personal grow at home? No. I mean, I think that's the perfect place for someone, you know, to find out exactly what they're doing, understand the plant, understand the cycles of the plant and how they react to certain things. And as long as you're not too invested in it, right? I mean, if you're going to do something at home, I don't believe that you should. I think you should. It's a great place to just figure it out yourself. And is that indoor? Is that outdoor? If you're going to do, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000 square foot facility, you know, definitely you need to hire somebody. You need to vet them out. You need to, you know, listen to their operation skills, because it's more than just growing skills, it's operational skills. And a lot of people think that, you know, that you can do both. Like, I can operate the building, I can grow, I can manage this, I can manage that. And they start to realize that, no, you can't do any of that, because you're going to be
focused on growing. If you're growing,
you're going to be stuck in the weeds in no time. You know what I mean?
Literally.
I mean, you know, and so even then, when you start to dive into it, Joe, it's weird, because, you know, it's someone that comes from, like, oh, I've been growing, you know, and a lot of these growers that are master growers have been growing in their homes or in small warehouses for, you know, 20 years. And, you know, you could have someone that grows in a small warehouse or out of their home for the last 20 years and then convert them into a massive facility. And guess what? They're going to blow a crop.
How old were you the first time you actually started your own grow? Your own. This is Blue's grow.
My personal grow, I would say, excuse me. Got some nuts in my throat.
Yeah. Let me move over here. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Joe. That wasn't a kiss. So my personal grow was, here it is again. It's at the back. Is that a hair?
Jeez, a pubic hair too now?
Got me,
Jeez,
Joe.
Nuts and hairs in his mouth.
Wow. So my personal, the first time I think I did a grow was, don't hold me to this, I'm guessing I was probably 22.
Now, I know, and the listeners that have been following us, your family's been growing as a kid. It was, you know, Pinner's in the house, and everybody knew about it. So 22 is Blue's grow. That's yours. At what point did you see your dad's first grow, or like a grow?
Oh, man.
So there's two sides that where I'm trying to go with this, too.
So Pops was growing. I mean, I do
that. You had at your house, too?
Backyard. I mean, backyard for since I was in diapers. I mean, I can't.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude, for sure.
So you were a little pendejo, just was pooping your pants and weed in the back.
There was, yeah, I remember, you know, it's funny because I didn't even know it was cannabis, and there was a weed plant like right outside my window, and then there was like one inside of this, and I was probably, I'm you know, at that time probably 15, maybe 14, 13, and it was
so you're still in diapers.
This is when I remember. Yeah, no, this is when I remember, though. I mean, before that, I mean, it was happening. I just, when I realized that, oh shit, that's a bud plant, is my dad came in and was like, you know, who stole that bud off the tree? Because I guess it was, and I remember
everything, huh?
No, I remember it hanging there. I didn't even know what it was.
Oh, you took it off on accident?
I was probably younger. You know, I mean, it was probably 12 or 13. So 12 or 13 years old. No, I didn't do it. My brother, I guess, probably was 15, 16, 17 or 18. So I was probably, you know, 13 or 14. And I just didn't, you know, put
Peanut
two and
you
two.
Some water too. So
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
No, I didn't really know that it was. You know, I knew what cannabis was. I just didn't realize that was a bud plant in the backyard, I guess. You know what I mean? Probably 12, 13 years old.
Exactly.
Just didn't put two and two together.
Not
until,
even like, who wouldn't care? Whatever. It's just a plant in the backyard. It's just whatever.
My Uncle John, you know, who passed away, and my father as well, you know, let them rest in peace. But, you know, when they walked in the house and they had me and my brother in the room, they're like, hey, you know, which one of you or your friends, you know, stole the buds off the tree out back? And I was in there going like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean, what I mean? Buds, yeah, on the tree? What buds,
yeah,
on the,
yeah,
tree?
Yeah. And so
what
I
does
think,
that even mean?
Yeah, they realized it, because I mean, we all knew what weed was or what it was at that time.
But you didn't know it was buds on the tree that you grow and you cut, yeah, it down, and that's how we're making money, kids. And
just put it, yeah, just does. Didn't put it together, you know what I mean? And you know, and Pops, you know, my Pops was in the, you know, he was a postal service in the Navy, tires and wheels and different stuff like that throughout his career. So he had jobs as well, but it was always a thing that he always had around him. I mean, it wasn't something, I mean, up until the day he died, he was literally like, roll me out to the in the VA hospital, roll me out out front, and I want to, you know, smoke a joint. You know?
So at the age of 22, the stuff that you've seen from 12, 13, I mean, a little kid on, did you say, Dad, I'm going to start my own grow, can you help me out with this? Or was the knowledge that you brought in from learning and seeing everything, once you started realizing, probably like 15, 16, I'm just going to imagine thinking about you saying you didn't know really at 13, but then you started to probably realize by 15, 16 and absorbing and soaking it in, going, ah, they're using this, they're using that, or did you even soak it in?
No, you know what? Honestly, I think when you're young, you think your parents don't know nothing. So,
ain't that the
you
truth?
Know, you know what I mean?
Like your kids right now.
Yeah.
No, Dad, I'm just taking the car.
Yeah.
Ay,
no,
sorry to bring it up.
Had I actually listened, right? I mean, you know, and picked up the skills and the different things, I'd probably even, you know, be in a better place now. But I think what I did is I looked at it and was like, oh, I could do that better, or I can, you know, I know more, or, you know, you don't know nothing, because, you know, your parents, you know, they're also someone you don't want to be like, hey, I'm going to start selling weed, Dad. You know,
that's true too.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Hey, Dad, I'm about to jump in this illegal game. You want to help me grow it?
Yeah, and even when my dad realized I was, and it was because my friends would come over and buy weed from him and be like, hey, where's Chris? And then his sales would go down and stuff. You know what I mean?
You're like, you're jumping in my dad.
Yeah, yeah. It turned it, and this is in my late teens, like 19, 20s, you know, going into that age. But, you know, I think it came to a point where he would sit me down and go, and keep in mind, it was a lot more illegal than it is now, is he would tell me things like, you know, son, you know, I sell cannabis or weed. He'd call it dope, and, you know, which I'd always be like, stop calling it dope, Dad. But, you know, it was one of those things where he would come in and go, you know, I sell it to so I could have some free smoke, have a little bit of extra cash so we can have a nice lifestyle, and I have a job and all these other things. I don't just, you know, I'm not just
a drug dealer.
Right. And so it was, you know, and he was moving pounds. My dad moved plenty of pounds in his life. In fact, you know, there was a point in time where my dad was our mule, you know. I mean, he was just had the perfect look, and him and I started partnering up, and I was, you know, allegedly moving him from San Diego into Colorado. And, you know, I remember the first time I had, you know, several hundred pounds of cannabis, allegedly, and I was getting ready to take them from San Diego, and I was packing them in the back of this car, and I had them all done, and I was literally getting ready to take off, and he's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm taking them to Colorado Springs. And he's like, no, you're doing it, you know, you're not doing that. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I'll do it. And I was like, huh? And I was like, Dad, I said, you know,
I'm jumping on the sword for you.
Jumped right on it, dude. And not only that, but every time, you know,
he's like, mijo, I got you into this game. I ain't going to let you get yourself out of it.
Dude, 100%.
I'm going to do it for you.
Pops is like, I'll
that's
do
it. That's OG status. That just gave me chills for Pops. Like,
yeah,
you know, if that's what we're going to do, Pops, and that's what you're supposed to
well,
do.
Well, I was like, I'm going to go with you. He's like, nah, I got this, dude. And I was like, well, who are you going with? He's like, I'm going by myself. I'll be there tomorrow. And I'm like, what? And
they
he's
call like, me Bolo because I roll solo. Yeah, now what?
24 hours. Yeah, I'd say 28, 29, 30 hours later, you know, he's calling and going, you know, all right, I'm here, you know.
Do you mind if I stop and get a few meals with this extra cash I got here?
No, my boy Ron, you know, it was his cousin, you know, and he was like, yeah, I'm at this trailer park and, you know, where are these guys, you know, and
look so, for the old guy with the mustache and the Rolo.
Funny thing is, it was an old dude out there, and him and my dad became really good friends. And the old man was, you know, he was tied into like just so many other deep things, though, you know. And so when we had, you know, we were just about cannabis. I mean, there's one thing that also my dad taught me, which I
stick to cannabis.
Stick to cannabis,
even though it was a felony and a big one at that time, still early on.
Yeah, no, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's like you can. You can get your, when you have cash businesses and you know, and there's so much going on, you know, you start thinking, oh, well, if I do this, I could sell that or I could do this. And all of a sudden there's other drugs involved and people want to get involved in that. My pops was so adamant about making sure that I never touched any other drugs, you know, or got into any other business. And that, you know, went from pharmaceuticals to cocaine to meth to heroin to any other drugs. And he was like, you're going to be approached by them. They're going to come into some of the same guys are tied into the same things. And you got to make sure that you just don't ever do that. Don't touch it. Don't mess with it. So I stayed away from it.
That's the game right there. Well, I hope that answers your question out there. I believe your name was Charlie out in Fresno. Basically, just start growing if it's your own. If it's small, you can do it yourself. If it's big, you need some help. That's the bottom line for the question.
Yeah, and if you want me to go deeper into it, man, just, you know, email Joe, man.
we'll email talk Joe, about blue at cannabistalk101.com.
Oh, man. Let the games begin, huh? We're about to give out Joe's personal number and his wife's number. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. We have an amazing show for you guys, and I hope you are at home safe or in the car or enjoying something right now.
I hope you're out and about going somewhere cool and
golfing.
Doing Blue and I went go. We haven't talked. Blue and I went golfing on a Saturday, Sunday, whatever.
Last Sunday,
and we had the time of our lives.
It was
just
great.
Smoking cigars. You had a couple drinks. It was such a good time. And watching you swing that club and miss those balls.
Man, dude, man. You know, It's funny because I started off really well, man. I had a nice
stroke.
Okay,
you can play. I can see you can play.
Yeah.
Okay, this cat's gonna be okay. I was like, oh boy.
You know what it was? I think I got lazy.
Off on number four.
I got lazy. You know, I went once the old man that we were playing Tom and Tom.
They were Tom and Tom.
It was Tom and Tom. Tom and Tom Jr. So we ended up sitting with them, and it was weird because I realized that he was kind of not, you know, he was, you know, messing up a little bit too, kind of thing. So I didn't feel so bad. You know, I was like, oh, you know, Tom's not so, you know, great either. You know what I mean? So that's not so bad. I wasn't too worried.
I shouldn't worry anyways. It's just a game. I mean, geez, you're out there. You're not making money off it. We're out there. We paid to play.
No,
let me
totally.
Have a good time and leave me alone. You got a problem with how I play? Piss off.
No, yeah, but you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want to be the anchor.
Oh,
you don't want to be the anchor. You know, and I
actually played the best I played in a long time. So that wasn't my normal game, by the way.
I know, Joe. I mean, I was really Joe actually, I'll be honest, man, he is lying his ass off right now by saying he played a good game.
Because it was great.
No, it was a great game. He did a great
even
job.
Even the other guy was like, dude, what's your score right now? I'm like, I don't even know. I mean, I have it on my scorecard, but I'm not keeping mental track of it. I know I'm doing very well, but
yeah.
I didn't know what it was.
You know what, though? I think I could hang with you if I gave you, honestly. Yeah, I just got to close.
I used the number the other day. You're about 7 rounds away because... No. You're there. Your ball was going straight. It was just go for sure.
Well, I didn't have like I said when I first came in. You know, I stretched a little bit.
Maybe
you
need to smoke a little more weed.
Yeah, something. I mean,
either way,
not drink on.
Maybe that was it. After the shots of vodka,
the eighth or ninth hole was like. Hey, woo.
If anybody ever wants to be a part of the show, ask questions. We're answering a couple questions a day. Give us a call 800-420-1980. That number to be a part of the show 800-420-1980. Leave a question. Leave a comment. Ask why Mark and Craig haven't been around. The lazy son of a bitches.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could always go to our Facebook pages and everything else. Well, Cannabis Talk 101.
Speaking of Facebook, actually, somebody was asking a question about Mr. Joe Grande. And it says, I have listened to you since you were on Power 106 in Big Boy's Neighborhood. And I've noticed you've gravitated towards the cannabis show. The last time I remember you were on Sports Talk Radio. What happened?
So it's funny.
He upgraded it.
Yeah. I actually ended up quitting, and it's so funny that I get asked this question quite a bit from people who have followed my radio career. Like, dude, I remember you on Power and Kiss FM. So I worked with Big Boy's Neighborhood. I worked with Power on Kiss FM with Ryan Seacrest, and then I did a lot of sports talk radio. And the last I was at NBC Sports on the last one. And Big Boy would talk about me from time to time, too, saying, you know, shout out to Joe Grande over there at NBC Sports, whatever. So the people who still listen to him kind of followed me. So whoever that is that sent that question, and I appreciate you following my journey. And I actually called it. I hung up my cleats several years back, and I was done with doing sports talk. Even when I moved to South Orange County, I was just going to raise the family and got a job in some sales and doing some processing and all kinds of other random stuff. And I started getting into the cannabis space. Doing processing for companies and helping them establish bank accounts and all this stuff. And then I ran into Christopher Wright, Mr. Blue.
Yes, sir.
And when I ran into Blue, he said, Joe, why don't you come on the show so we can record a segment with you?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You want to dismiss the whole big part?
No, let's back it up a little bit. This guy walks into the office, you know, and we had a beautiful office. It was probably, in my opinion, you know, one of my favorite offices, a standalone building. And then we had this huge flood that kind of wiped us all out. I mean, it's like 500,000 gallons of water came in that facility.
Craziest story ever.
A fire hydrant got hit outside, landed on top of the building.
I'll never forget Jen swimming out of the office.
Yeah, we were running around corners, slipping and falling. I mean, it was pretty awesome. Ruined a lot of our equipment. We kind of like started over, but Joe walks into our conference room and, you know, hey, what's up, guys?
Suit and tie. I was all booted, suited and booted.
And you know what's funny is, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I just told Frankino this the other day, and I brought it up because I was like, you know, my next door neighbor, he sells Bibles and like church things, like Bibles, candles, anything that has to do with like churches.
What, right around the neighbor, candles, cannabis, whatever.
Yeah.
Neighbor to neighbor.
Well, he's my neighbor and we're buddies. We hang out all the time. And he comes over and he goes, hey, you know, I got these guys that are in the merchant world. You know, I want to introduce them to you. I said, shoot them by. I'd love to. I mean, merchant services is one of the hardest things to do, I think, in any business. I mean, until you've established yourself with the business.
If you're selling T-shirts, it's real easy. But if you're not selling it, if you're selling something hard, like
even if you're selling T-shirts, if you're selling volume in T-shirts, it could be a
problem.
Anything
with big volume, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it starts to, we start to do, you know, our deal. He says, I'm going to have these guys show up. And I even forget. Ian, was that his name? The other guy that showed up, I forget his name. But him and this other guy, Joe, show up, and Joe Grande walk in the room, and I'm going, he goes, hey, what's up, man? I'm Joe Grande. And I'm like, Joe Grande? I'm like, Joe Grande from Power 106? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what's up, bro? I said, we've met before. I said, I used to listen to you when I was younger. And
no,
Joe.
No, you said when I was a kid.
Oh, when I was a kid. Joe said, well, hey, bro, we're not, you're not much younger than me, bro.
Well, this is the type of businessman I am. I actually said, hey, you know what? Fuck you. I'm not that much older than you. Before we start this business meeting, I'm already going to punch you back with a capital F you to start the meeting up and set the record off right.
And I'm literally just started rolling in the office, you know, and we start talking about the merchant stuff. And I think after we go through the merchant, you know, stuff, he comes and says, you know what? He says, you know, I feel like I could help you guys on your show. Or, you
well,
know.
That was a little later after we did the show. That was after. It
wasn't, oh, no,
was
I said, why don't you come to the show? Actually, why don't you come to the show and we'll interview you on the show.
Yeah, so I went there and you and I believe Craig interviewed me on the show. Mark was gone like he is now, probably trying to do his own thing again like he's normally doing.
Yeah.
And it's not working again. But what's going on was I did the interview and then we hit it off and, hey, why don't you come back next week? So I didn't even have a chance. But after that show that we did together, I was like, dude, what you guys got? This whole cannabis thing is dope. I like it.
Yeah.
I think there's something there. Like, you guys got a good show. I feel the vibe.
Oh, it was great. So he asked after the show, he pulls me in the next room, you know, and he's like, hey, you know, is it, what do you think? You know, and I'm just like, you know, and it was weird because I kind of had that same feeling, like, you know,
even before we went to the show, I felt it after the meeting. At the meeting, I was like, why is there chemistry with this dude?
Well, I really wanted, there was a lot of chemistry, and so we made out afterwards, but,
that was
you know,
story, though.
But that's, you know, but our wives know about it, so it's okay.
It's all good.
So the thing that came into it, though, was that, you know, I think we sat down, and he was asking me, and I go, you know, let me talk to the brothers, and at that time, I've always thought we should have a woman's voice on Cannabis Talk, you know.
I have boobs.
And I've been, you know, and he does have boobs. Boom, you know, that's why he's Joe Grande.
Hola.
Yeah. So, but I thought about it and I said, you know, I think it might be a good addition and, you know, let me talk to the guys about it. And so we went back to them and right away, you know, Craig is just, no, we don't need nobody else on the show. And that's that. And
that's Craig.
And then Mark was like, well, I don't know. I mean, what is he an asset to the show? Or, I mean, you know, he seems like he's well spoken. He kind of knows what's going on, but I'm not sure either. You know, I if Big Brother says no, I say no too. And I go, well,
he's,
you know,
such a puppet.
I said, instead of saying no, I said, why don't you guys do some research on the guy, find out who he is, understand who he is, what he's done in this industry. You know, he's got a degree. In radio, or, you know, in broadcasting. I said, he knows what he's doing. And so,
look at the resume.
Yeah, I think a day later, I think Craig calls me and goes, my wife knows who he is. I think it might be a good idea, but let's just give him an audition. You know, and I was like, okay, well, you know, let's give him an audition. He just did an audition pretty much. He just came on the show.
Yeah, interviewed him.
He says, yeah, but let's not make it a guarantee. We're not sure how it's going to work out kind of thing. You know, I said, okay, let's not make him too big of a promise kind of thing. Then, drum roll, please.
Hey, Joe, why don't you come back next week so we can, you know, be a part of the show and be with all of us and we'll just talk and do a normal show.
So I think it was more like, hey,
okay.
Yeah, let's get you on the show. Let's vibe it out.
We're gonna have some guests and we can interview some people with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I thought to myself too, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, when someone, you know, leaves radio, you know, and retires, which you did, you know, it's one of those things you think to yourself, like, damn, is, you know, did he retire or did he get fired? You know, does this guy have some stink coming with him? You know,
you could think that way. I could see that.
No, of course. You think that. You have to think that if you're doing business. So, you know, I'm trying to dig up dirt for a little bit, you know,
and be like, find it.
You know, and it's like, damn, you know. And then, you know, I had some talks with him actually, and I think I straight up asked him, like, dude, were you fired from radio or were you? You know, he's like, yeah, I've been fired from radio.
But I wasn't fired when I quit.
But I wasn't fired when I retired, you know. So anyways, we tell him to meet down at the radio station, and he shows up to the radio station, and like, I'm like probably 20 minutes early, and he's like, I'm here, you know? And I literally was like, oh man, I didn't call Joe and tell him I can't make it, you know? And I literally had an emergency come up. Craig had an emergency come up, and Mark was already scheduled not to come again. Just normal for him.
That's normal, just like he's not here. Yeah, Mark, how do you feel about it?
Princess. So he ends up,
My big brother says.
Yeah. So he ends up saying, you know, showing up, And I go, Craig, I said, I'm not going to make it to the show. What time are you going to get there? And he's like, man, dude, you know, something going on, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to be able to make it. Maybe we should just cancel the show. And I'm like,
mind you, two guests are there too that are scheduled to be interviewed.
And I'm like, Joe Grande is there by himself right now, dude. He doesn't even, he's never carried our show for us. He's, you know, it's his first time ever doing a show with us. Last time he's being interviewed. And I go, let Joe do the show. And Mark Craig's like, I think just canceled. I'm like, no, Joe can hold down the show. He's like, I don't think it's a good idea, bro. He's going to screw up the show, this and that, da, 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 da. I'm like, Craig, Joe is a professional. He can handle it. And it's like, it was 10 minutes before the show. And he goes, are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, Craig, it'll be fine. I was like, all right. I called Joe. Joe, what's up, bro? Here's the situation. I was like, we're not going to make it. What do you mean you're not going to make it? None of us are going to make it. He's like, all right, so what should I tell the guests? I was like, ask them who they are and do the show. And he's like, do the show? By myself? I was like, well, you got Ripper there, the engineer.
The engineer's there. All right, screw it. All right, cool. Let me prep. Well, hey, what's your name and where are you from?
Yeah.
What's your company? What are you going to talk about? Okay, cool. Okay, perfect. Let's go.
Yeah, and this guy gets on the show, and you know what? It was the worst show we've ever had.
It was the highest rated show ever till this day on KOCI Radio.
Yeah, right.
Still shocking to me, but the moral of the story is that's how
it was
I
a great
got into
show.
The cannabis space as you sent us a message on Facebook, and I appreciate you asking and following my journey, and now I'm stuck with these guys, and now we're here with iHeartRadio and everywhere else, and thank you so much. I don't know what the guy's name was, but I know he wrote that, so thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101. I got to tell you a story, and I want to talk to you about Method Man and MedMen. My guys, I'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. In this segment of Cannabis Talk 101, we are going to be talking about MedMen and Method Man or Red Man?
Method Man. So, rapper, I'll start with Method Man. And first off, though, I want to, before we forget and then skip over, I just want to thank the crew always for doing such a great job. Kit, Peanuts, Jennifer, Elvis for helping us out as a producer, giving us information all the time. Thank you guys. We always appreciate you so very much.
Shout out to my boy PJ in the building.
PJ as well. Thank you, brother, for being here. Especially you over there, Peanut's bigger brother, Hit Nut.
Oh, here we go.
I love him because he's just getting heavier by the week. Anyways,
yeah.
Method Man is a rapper. Well, he's launching a new marijuana business specifically aimed at boosting other black-owned cannabis companies.
Nice.
Now, according to Bloomberg News, the business dubbed Tikal, T-I-C-A-L, short for Taking Into Consideration All Lives. Now, also the name of Method Man's first solo album. T-I-C-A-L was also the name of his first solo album, right? So it's kind of cool, and that's the similarities. So he'll soon begin selling weed products to black-owned retailers in California. And he has a quote saying, personally, it's essential that we use our brand to help bring awareness to the social system and economic injustice in communities that have struggled with oppressive mass and incarceration and radically biased political policies. Method Man and his government name is Clifford Smith. So way to go, Clifford.
Yes.
It's kind of good. Some people may be, well, why are you only doing, you know what? Because sometimes it's good for some people to stick together. And if I'm going to do that for
There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it at all. It's great.
First of all, I want to say this. I respect it and I think it's brilliant. One question I have is it legal? To just sell to...
What do you mean? I could sell to whoever I want.
No. I'm not saying that he's not going to sell to everyone. Is he considering just selling just to...
Well, he's saying that's what he's focusing on, right? He's looking
at
doing,
fine.
You know,
that's perfectly
black
fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
And you know what? I think it's great. This is what my focus is on. And guess what that means? That means you need to go to a black-owned dispensary to get Method Man's weed. And it's kind of cool. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, yes,
you
for
know what I'm
sure.
Saying? I think it's like, you want to get my weed? Well, I'm
selling
it.
Well, I'm sure he's
going to
get distribution
cats.
In all owned companies, right?
But here's the deal. When Method Man sees the check and going, here's 20 grand or here's 200 grand.
No,
Which one do you want?
You'll take them all. No.
Let me get everybody selling my shit.
100%. But I think it's important, though, just like, you know, women-owned businesses and black-owned businesses and Hispanic-owned businesses and white-owned businesses, a lot of work together. And I don't. There's nothing wrong with that, you know?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with working together, but this is what he's pushing his movement on, and he's going back to his old solo album. And, you know, this is how he's starting it, bottom line. And it's... it's just cool and it's good timing, in my opinion, as far as, you know, uniting brothers and just it's just good. Bottom line, it's the news. I like it. I've always liked Method Man. He's always been cool. Stand-up dude, every time you see him, slap hands, just a straight cool cat.
Yeah, Red and Meth, you know, to be honest with you, when they did the movie How High, I actually was extra in the movie.
Were you really?
Yeah, and How High.
Did they show you in it?
In a bleacher somewhere. I seen my little ball head in there somewhere, you know, back when I was, I think, 19 or 20 or something like that. It was a long time ago. But I did love that movie, and I just love those old school urban movies that were, you know, based on cannabis, like Friday, and Thank God It's Friday.
How come we haven't had a good one recently? It just seems like we haven't had a really good urban funny.
Well, they're not good to us, dude, because we're old.
You know what? I become the old fat guy on the porch by far. Because even sometimes, some of this music, I'm just like, oh, God, what did he say?
Well, I tried to watch some of them, and I sit down and watch some of these new shows, and I'm like, oh, you know, that's not realistic from when our time was, but it's probably more realistic for the generation that we're dealing with. I mean, you think about, like, even these riots, right? I mean, you know, before the protesting is one thing, right? But then the rioting that's happening, I mean, we've seen this and with the...
Rodney King,
right? And so even before that, though, when COVID hit, you know, it was weird because I literally went and cut out boards for each one of my windows.
You really did, you guys. This is crazy.
And you know, I had them measured out. I measured all my windows out, and I went down to Home Depot. I had them cut them all out. And I measured all my windows and then labeled them in my house, drilled holes, so not in my walls, but in the
concrete.
No, hell no, I didn't ruin my house, but I in the wood that I the plywood that I was gonna cover my windows with, and my wife, my kids, everybody's like, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you getting plywood? And I'm like, because the shit could hit the fan. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, dude, our country's getting shut down right now. Do you guys realize what's happening? Like, and they're like, no, what are you talking about?
And I'm
like,
it just keeps getting worse and worse. And the news has got fucking, from COVID.
But it's funny, though.
That's from COVID. Hey. And then it didn't even go bad. It just got worse. Like, okay, I got these fucking sheets for COVID.
No.
That motherfucker's just looting and going crazy.
Right? And so when that happened, you know, we had this, you know, this incident happen, you know, with George. And it's like, gosh, man, you know what? Like, they're seeing it happen on TV and they're going, you know, there was a day where we're all sitting in the house and we're all watching TV and they're like,
thanks for getting those boards, Dad.
No, my kids are like, is that what you were talking about? And I'm like, son, that's exactly what I was talking about.
I had no idea that was going to happen.
And all of a sudden it was like, hey, is that going to come over here? And it's like, it could, you know what I mean? Like, it possibly could. And I was like, but you know, don't worry. Like, don't get too worried, but be aware. You know,
it's just crazy what 2020 has been like. The year 2020 goes down in the record books
just
like
for
no other year in my 48 years of life. I can go back to thinking, going, you know, I used to think listening to Prince going, we're going to party like it's 1999. And when it was 1999, I fucking partied hard. I went hard in 1999.
You fell for the song.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I just had a good time. And bottom line is, you just look at this 2020 and go, damn. It's been a big year.
I'll tell you what, it is going to go in the record books. It's going to be in, you know, like when history, you know, goes back and you know, our children's children start to go through school and they look at some of the stuff that's going on, which is actually pretty horrible that they have to even see this and still be a part of our history, right? It's shameful because our country's better than that. Our people are better than that. And honest to God, I feel like we've had such a good relationship with all races and there's been no color lines for so long. And then
I disagree with that. I think there has been.
I'm not saying there hasn't been. I'm saying that there has been, but it wasn't like in the 80s and 90s. In the 80s and 90s, it was definitely more segregated.
Well, it was just hidden more, and now people are filming it more and coming out with it more. And I just think it's being put on the forefront rather than the, oh, that's just her. That's just them acting
that
like
that.
That
just ain't right, though.
It's just not right. I think it's ignorance that has been out there killing people and just like I like myself, dog. I let my hair grow because I was sick of being treated, and this is recently. So it's not like within the last 4 years I didn't let my hair grow. I had to let my hair grow so I quit getting treated like shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I don't think, and for me personally, going, no, it's still there. Why? Because I got treated like, and I'm not even black.
No, but like, I mean, yeah, I know being, you know,
it's still stronger than ever. Well, they're making a bigger point now, and it's good that white folks are out there standing and marching, and that's going to make the difference, because now we can all talk about it openly and say, hey, man, what's going on? How do you feel about this? But something that I want to talk to you about, Blue, I mentioned this before we broke, was MedMen. MedMen's making some big news again as of just recently. I mean, they had a big quarter. They actually got a plus in their quarter, right? So that's a good sign, and we'll get a little more in detail on that. But what I really want to mention is the founders, guys we know,
yes,
they've stepped down. So I'm wondering, reading between the lines of MedMen and the whole stock and company, because let's just face it, they raised a lot of fucking capital. They're taking private jets. They're spending. They were spending that money like it was fucking bubblegum money. Like, well, whatever. Let's go. Let's just do it up.
Well, the billboards. They definitely did it, got a
borderline dirty.
Well, I don't know, dude. I didn't.
For them to have to step down?
No. Listen.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to make some lucrative cash and still be a part of, but they're not going to be on the big board of making the big decisions anymore, because your decisions you've made led us into being looked at too heavy, not being able to collect more money from more venture capitals who want to put in money to this, because they were spending money not as wise as they should have been.
When I look at MedMen, I look at it in a different way. You know, and I'll explain that to you, because not everybody would see that. And of course, excuse me.
Go ahead. Hug?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think I know where you're. Well, I look at MedMen, by the way, too. First off, like a monster that's not going to go away. And I know Mark and Craig, especially Craig and I, we've been going back.
Let's get him on the show. I mean, let's just reach out to him.
Probably in Vegas, passed out face down on some fucking beach couch on a poolside.
No, not Craig. I'm talking about MedMen, the owners of MedMen. Yeah. So
we should get them.
They are probably too, though.
Them too, though.
No, listen, this is how I look at MedMen, okay? They came into the world market.
Of cannabis.
The world market. There's people that are big companies that are national. There's big companies that are just, you know, local big companies.
They made a world brand name for their stuff, like Apple.
They made a world brand name in the cannabis industry. And to do that, you got to spend a lot of money. You've got to shake and move with the people that have a lot of money.
But not even just in the cannabis industry, Blue. They made a name for themselves
worldwide.
Period. Yeah.
Yeah. So worldwide.
Like, they're the cannabis company.
Yeah. And they have more stores than anybody. More, you know, more. You drive down freeways, streets, you see on billboards, you hear on everything. MedMen, magazines, everywhere. So they
Dateline, Jimmy Kimmel, they're using MedMen.
I call that market share. And so in order to get the kind of market share that they wanted, they had to expand that fast and put that much money into it. Now, the investor goes, well, there's no money coming back, right? Because here's what happened.
They bought all these buildings in Culver City as well. They bought the whole place.
Yeah.
They bought a whole big lot.
Those are assets, right? So that's okay. But what I'm saying is you start to do that kind of move, and you know, the investor goes, you're just spending money like an idiot buying houses. And they're like, dude, I spent $1 million, okay, in out of the 100 million, 50 million, 500 million that we raised or whatever, and we spent $1 million of it on us.
Yeah.
Okay. If you look at the big picture and say, you know, yeah, they were taking jets here. You know what? They were taking jets places because they probably had, massive people working with them next to them that they had to impress and work with on that scale to get where they're at. So, you know, if you say that and you think of it as a brand and go, you know what? The market wasn't ready for them to be that big and that fast.
But they took it. And they own it.
They took it, and now they own it. And I don't think that they, you know, and
they're not going nowhere. People think they're going to go under. Hell no, they're not going.
They're not going anywhere.
Someone will jump right now.
Like I said, someone will buy them. Someone will, you know, eat it up. Whatever. It's not going to be one of those things that just goes away. I don't believe that.
Yeah, third quarter they ended with an increase of $45.9 million for the quarter. So you know, yes, they took some big lumps, but they're going back in the right direction. Everything you're saying, I agree with dead on.
Yeah,
they're a company that did what they needed to do. People who are going to complain about them, boy, they spent this, they did that. They fucking own the market.
Well,
they own the world as far as look at this brand out of California.
Every one of them, yeah, parents, you know, soccer moms to the
soccer moms want to go buy weed at MedMen.
Street guys to the stock soccer mom to the operators that are operating the facilities. They all know who MedMen. They all want to be in the MedMen store. They all, you know, trying to get part
of
that.
Every brand wants to have their brand sold in the MedMen. supplement store.
And not only that, they also created the Apple, like the Apple kind of, you know, store style feel, which was
the
very
ambiance when you ambience. Walk into that facility.
And so they put themselves on another class level. When they did that, it wasn't just a, hey, we're selling cannabis type thing here. So going through that, you know, I would say the investors aren't going to see a return for another 10 years, okay? And I think they maybe sold them on a dream that, hey, we'd have our money back in 3 or 4 years or 5 years, and didn't realize it was a 15-year investment.
It's a bigger play.
But
yeah.
But I think overall, you know, and here's what happens is I think that they made promises that they can't keep up to. Now that is their fault, but I don't think that they, you know, the investors should be looking at it like, and the reason there's turmoil is because now that the investors are going in going, well, I'm going to take it. You know, I'm going to take it. And so they're just taking a new control, you know, and there's just a new controller, a new operator. But if they had said, hey, this is a 20-year play, guys, we're going to spend, you know, $300 million up front, and then we're going to make $40 million a year after that for the next 10 years, and we're going to get our money back times 20.
Let alone in the quarter. We made $40 million in this quarter, third quarter.
If they would have laid it out properly, it would have been okay. I don't think they did. I think that was the misunderstanding.
Well, a lot of people didn't look at this cannabis game and realize how much it was really going to cost these guys.
Sure.
Because you think this, you anticipate that, but bad grows, bad crops, bad building, bad this, bad that, higher taxes, higher this, higher that. You're like, oh shit, I didn't realize my money was going to go so fast.
Right.
Now I need more. But, you know, MedMen's doing good things. Even though their, you know, founders stepped down, we're still, Blue and I are still huge fans of them. Mark and Craig, they've on the fence with them.
Well, I think they're playing devil's advocate. Everybody's going, you know, oh, these guys are going under, because they're reading into the news, right? But, I mean, if you read the news and believe everything the news is saying, dude, I mean, you might go crazy in a week.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. And once again, if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call anytime, 800-420-1980. That phone number is 800-420-1980. Leave a comment, leave a voicemail, say how you met us, whatever. Blue, you owe me money. Joe, you look like crap on camera. Whatever you want to say, have fun with us.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. Remember this, if no one else loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.